Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I just said that, and my window was just a little crack open, and I noticed all the dogs down at the kennel are running around looking for me because they heard me howl through the crack of the window about an acre away. That's how good their hearing is. Okay, so we're going to talk about sniff design. Another thing dogs are very good at is sniffing. Not just hearing, but sniffing. So we're going to talk to Monica Ceballos about sniff design. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be on it.
Okay, so sniff designs. What is Sniff Design Studio?
Sniff Design Studio is a graphic design studio and illustration studio that caters exclusively to pet businesses.
Really? Oh, that's cool. How long have you been in business?
Since July 3rd of 2003.
I bet you've done so many good logos.
It's funny because I remember that exact date because that was the date that I got approved for a DBA, and it was really exciting. So it was something I just knew I had to give a try and see how it went and just, you know, decided, well, let's do it.
Well, of all the things you do in your business, what's your favorite?
My favorite is the creative part of it. It's designing the logos, the websites, brochures, social media, the artwork for the backgrounds and the covers for that. So basically any and all creativity where I get to sit and really work at that. That's my favorite.
Okay, what's your least favorite?
Least favorite is having to bill for it.
No, well, yeah, but getting paid isn't bad. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's all right. Where do you get your style and illustrations? Are you drawing them?
Yes. So what I do is my first degree actually is in fine art. And that really, really lent itself to graphic design because after graduating, I realized, well, I can't really be painting. What can I do that's still just as creative? And I really took a few courses in graphic design, and I'm like, this is it. So with fine art background, it really taught me how to see things, and to see color and layout, the shape of something. And that is where my illustration background comes from. And most of the time I do sketches before I get into the artwork, and then I take that sketches and scan them in and then turn them into digital artwork.
If you're always doing pet businesses, so dogs and cats over and over again, how do you get original? Like, how do you make it not look like the last project?
I think biggest thing is I send a client a questionnaire asking them what they're looking for and also what they're not looking for. Because a lot of times the direction comes from a client in terms of what kind of style or theme that they're going for. So, and also it's just research. A lot of research is involved in making sure that no one looks the same too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. Because you don't want to be inadvertently advertising for your competitor because you picked the wrong breed of dog for the for the big campaign. Do you ever come in when a website's already been designed and the person's maybe had a smaller scale thing, but now they want to upgrade or they want to maybe interconnect it better, something like that? Mm-hmm. Like, are you able to come in partway?
Yeah. We've done everything from a complete redesign to also maybe updating and freshening a website, like maybe changing out some of the graphics on the homepage, maybe changing the menu so it's a little bit more user-friendly, to adding a WordPress content editor, which is just a fancy way of saying putting a program in a website that allows the owner to update it on their own.
Easily, without having to know gobbledygook talk, which is what
totally.
I find so frustrating.
Yeah.
And then they send you these, you know, warning, you need to update your site. And God only knows how you're supposed to do that. And then there's so much else, right? It makes it look, you watch TV, you see these commercials, free website, free this, free that. It's never free. They always charge. And usually they build something far too inadequate for what you're thinking. And then what do? You can't scale up without paying a lot of money. So I think I've learned my lesson over and over again with this.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of like seeing these advertisements pop up on Facebook and other places online that talk about build this website for free and then they show you a beautiful looking website. It takes somebody who really knows what they're doing and with experience to make it look easy, and that's why it looks easy. So if you're not familiar with, you know, how something should look, maybe pairing certain colors with other colors, or for that matter, having an understanding of what kind of digital files to upload online without bogging down your website. I mean, these are crazy details involved, and someone who may not know better going in may not understand all that, and then they end up, paying a lot of money in the long run.
Or if they don't build in some way of updating or structure their bill so that they're updating, you find just after you finish paying for them, your site's out of date and not functional. And that's really frustrating for anybody out there. So do you offer ongoing help for people?
Yeah. The main content editor that I use and that I use on my own site for Smith Design is WordPress. It's phenomenal. It started out just blogging for bloggers that has really taken off, and now it's a very powerful editor to use to make updates to your site. And you can do things like even add pages to your site and any content that you see fit. And it's basically, if you can work Microsoft Word, you can learn WordPress.
But it does go out of date, doesn't it? And it has this like virus protocol and things that you might not know about, right?
Right. So it, in regards to that, it's kind of like any operating system on a computer. Part of the reason they have updates is to better secure it for a person so they don't have to worry about a malicious attack or someone trying to hack their website. And WordPress has made it so that you do have, with the click of a button, you can update it. But then there's the issue of making sure you have a backup of your entire site first, just in case. So I think no matter how simplified the process is, there's always going to be some extra bit of knowledge needed when it comes to that. And definitely Smith Design can help out with that.
Well, okay, we're running out of time. We only have a couple minutes left, so I want you to tell them how they get a hold of Sniff Designs. Anybody out there in a pet-related business that wants a really cool website, you should take this down. How do they find you?
Well, they can go to www.sniffdesign.com, and that Sniff is in Doggy Sniff. Or they can find me on Facebook. I regularly post all our projects that we've completed there. And so a lot of people can go there and they can like the page and then just watch my work and decide if I'd be the right fit for them and or connect with me through Facebook as well. But the main best place is go to sniffdesign.com and then take a look around. There's plenty to see.
Monica, it was great having you. Don't be surprised. I might be calling you coming up because I've had tremendous website problems and I need to hook it all together. Yeah, well, it's live streaming, shopping cart, all this stuff, and it's too hard for me to do it. So I may call you. All right, everybody, we'll be back with some more Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Check out Sniff Designs in the meantime, and we'll be back in a minute.
I'm your doggy, and I love you, and you know that I really do.
Hello. Listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And next we're talking about pet transport. Have you ever had to send your pet anywhere? Travel with it? I sell puppies and I make the people come to me because I don't want to ship pets. I feel so uncomfortable with it. I'm so worried something might happen. Every once in a while, you read on the news about some animal running around the airport and other things, too. Animals get lost. I don't know. It's kind of a scary situation. So what do you do if you have to move or you have to travel or you want to and you've got a pet? Well, we've got Linda and Jill coming to join us today to talk about PreciousPetTransport.com. Welcome to the show, ladies. Linda and Jill, welcome.
Hi. Hello, Deborah. Thank you for having us on today. Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. So please tell my audience what your company does.
Okay, we are primarily a ground pet transport service within the U.S. So if you are moving or you have multiple pets and you don't want to make that drive yourself and you're not looking to put your pet on a plane, then you can come to us and we can do a door-to-door service for ground anywhere within the continental U.S. We also do provide some flight services. We will do a nanny puppy service where we'll have the breeder meet us at the airport, give us the puppy. We will hand carry it through security. It will go by our feet on the plane, and then we meet the new owner at the other airport. Or we can also offer air cargo service as well through the general airlines within the U.S., depending on breed, and internationally as well if you're moving overseas.
When you talk about the puppy under the seat, I did that. I've sent a puppy 2 years ago. It went as far as Panama, and the people had to come just at the right time so the puppy was big enough for all its vaccines, but still small right. enough to fit under the seat, because you just don't want a puppy at that young age being exposed to loud noises no. and scary things. It can change its temperament forever.
Totally. Yeah.
So, okay.
We try not to put puppies in cargo at all. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I see here, what kind of questions, if somebody's planning a move, what should they be asking themselves? Do they ask, like...
Well, when we have people that call in, one of some of the first things that we ask them, regardless, is we need to know the breed of the pet. And again, if a person's trying to decide whether they want to send their pet by ground or by air... There are some breeds that are extremely nervous, which don't fare well on a flight, but travel extremely well by ground. Again, when we're dealing with puppies, again, even by ground, the ultimate thing for a person getting a puppy is, like you said, for them to show up, put their hands on the puppy, actually see, let that puppy bond with them and take it home with them. That's the ideal way for a puppy to travel. However, adult dogs, can be a little bit different. You have to look at the size of the pet. You have to look at their temperament. If you're a large family that has multiple pets, and when I say multiple pets, we just moved one family that had 30 cats. Obviously,
wow.
You don't want to
put oh my gosh. All of they those. Needed like a bus or something.
Well, that's pretty much what we had. We had a large van, and it actually took two vehicles to transport 30 cats comfortably.
It was quite
a challenge, to say the least. But
well, you don't, with cats, you worry they might get lost with cats. You really need security with cats because they can panic and, disappear into the rafter somewhere. So there's I think I've never, ever heard of a vet clinic that didn't have a cat in the rafter story. So, I mean, it does happen.
I can honestly say when we do them by ground, and believe it or not, I actually prefer taking cats by ground than I would by air any day. Because by ground, we can close the door. We can do what we need to do when it comes to dealing with the cats. And there are very specific procedures that we follow when we're dealing with them. But a lot of people don't realize that when you take a cat to the airport, 90% of the time, because of security measures, you do have to get that cat out of the crate. And if you have a cat that's extremely nervous and is all claws and teeth, so to speak, you can have a real challenge on your hands if the cat gets away from you. So, when we're doing them by ground, we have the ability to put them in the crate, take them out to the van, close the van door so that if they do escape, they're only going as far as the confines of the van itself. However, again, when you're feeding them and giving them potty, you know, their potty box and everything, you can do that in a secure fashion.
They usually calm down a lot as well. They're very comfortable when they ride like that way.
See, now, because I'm Canadian, I immediately think that the appropriate equipment for this task is hockey gloves. That's what I think. You know, but okay, so it's not always a pleasurable journey. But when you talk about the breed of dog, I'm wondering who travels well by plane, breed wise?
I think any breed can travel well. It really just depends on the individual dog. There are some breeds that are banned from flying within the US, English Bulldogs, Pugs, and Shih Tzus. You cannot fly them within the US at all. No airline will take them. They have to go by ground.
Why? Is that their breathing? Are they worried that they'll die?
Because they're brachycephalic. They are the most severe of the brachycephalic breeds.
They do have a hard life because of that. I know the Pushkin face is very cute, but it comes with some side effects that aren't pleasant.
It does.
Difficulty
it does.
Breathing. So I understand that. So if you've got one of those, you definitely want to send it by ground. We only have a couple minutes left. PreciousPetsTransport.com is what we're talking about. If you're planning a move and you've got pets, this is the way to go. And PreciousPetsTransport.com. Is there anything else you'd like to tell everybody?
Feel free to come to the website, grab the phone number, give us a call. We'll be happy to sit down and chat with anybody about their pets and any of their pet transport needs at any time.
What's the furthest you've ever taken a pet?
We just sent one to Ecuador.
Ecuador? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess that involved transport by car and then plane?
Yes. I actually took it to Georgia, and then we put it on a flight to go from there so that it went direct. Because it was a brachycephalic, we took to the port of exit, which was Atlanta at the time, and then flew it direct from Atlanta to Ecuador, which is the preferred way. If you're going to fly a pet, try to get it as direct as possible.
And you have to consider, you'll help people with this, but you got to consider the climate. You're not going to fly a pet into Arizona in the summer. There's all kinds of issues with freezing and heat and papers and vaccines and quarantine. Yeah. And so, you know what? Don't do the wrong thing. Do the right thing. Go to PreciousPetsTransport.com so your move goes smoothly and your kids aren't crying when Rover isn't there at the new house. Okay. Thank you, ladies, for joining me today on Smart Animal Talk.
You're welcome. Thank you,
Carolyn.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Okay, everybody stay tuned. We'll be back with Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And if you want to check me out, go to debwolf.ca.
I'm your doggy. I'm your doggy. And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that I really do.
I really do.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Buzz Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf, coming in from Camp Good Dog as usual up in Vancouver, BC, Canada, where it's raining and it's dark and it's miserable, but you know, that's how it is in the rainforest. We've got coming up next, Chris Rubin, who joins us again with Adopt a Shelter, and this week's pick is a Westie rescue. You might not know what a Westie is, but you've probably seen them. They're on these commercials on TV for this wet dog food all the time. They're kind of their trademark dog on the cover. They're white and they're shaggy and they're adorable little dogs with pointed ears and square faces. And they're just gorgeous. And I can't imagine why anyone would need to rescue one. How could any of them ever get homeless? They're just so adorable. But obviously there is a need. So we're going to talk about that with Chris. And he's going to introduce us to Rachel. Welcome back to the show, Chris.
Thank you so much again for having me. Yes, Deb, it is mind-blowing how these sweet creatures could end up somewhere without a home, without a family. But without further ado, I'd like to introduce Rachel Phelps. She's with a group called Westie Meds, and she is so much more eloquent about explaining all the different things that will affect this breed, these animals. Rachel, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Rachel. Is it the terrier in them that gets them into trouble?
Definitely. It's the terriers. They're high energy. They like getting in trouble, and they're stubborn. So you combined all that together with a first-time dog owner, and that's why a lot of them end up in rescue, unfortunately.
Do you sometimes get fence running, digging, barking, and escaping? Would those be common?
Yes, that is about, you just described about every Westie at some point
in the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have met them. Yeah. But so adorable when they're little with that black nose and those little eyes. They look like a piece of fluff. I mean, they're gorgeous, right? And that might be why everybody gets them.
Definitely. And when they do get in trouble, it's hard to get upset with them when you see that cute face. So they've got that going for them.
Well, I'm sure that Chris has some good questions for you, so I'll let him ask you his questions.
Rachel, you know, you and I talk periodically on the telephone separately, and some of the things you described to me are allergy-related. Dig into that a little bit.
Yes, Westies are one of the biggest health problems is allergies and skin conditions. I think it must be something to do with them being a white dog, and unfortunately, a lot of Westies get surrendered because of that, but it can be an expensive treatment based on the severity of their allergies. And that's what most of the rescues of Westie rescues take in dogs with skin and allergy problems.
Oh, I get that. You know what? White horses, same thing. It's not the strongest coat.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I really want to bring this out and bring it to everybody's attention, because all these different animals, they have different special needs. And all of which are going to cost the shelters and rescues more to take care of these kind of things. And that's where Rachel comes in. And tell us a little bit about where do the animals that you take care of come from?
A lot of them come from owner surrenders to us, but also probably about half of them. The other half come from area shelters that when the owners are at their wit's end, they surrender to like a local animal control or rescue. And we have relationships with a lot of those groups. And when they get a tough case in that needs a long-term foster and medical care, then they give us a call.
So, okay, when you're talking medical care, I mean, I'm picturing these little white dogs coming in pink with swollen skin and itchy patches, bald spots. What do you do? Is it oatmeal baths and hypoallergenic food? Like, what happens to them when you get them?
Definitely, that's part of it. But usually by the time we get them, it's to the point of open sores, staph infections, fungus infections. So you're talking about long-term care, at least a couple months on the most severe cases. I have a pup right now at my house in foster. And we've had him over 2 months, and he'll probably be here another two more. A lot of medicated baths, medication, allergy shots, and a lot of TLC.
And then do they get a home at the end?
Definitely. That's part of our mission, is to make sure that they find that perfect home. But at the same time, we try to find a home that has some experience or is willing to learn about allergies, because it's a lot easier to catch those allergy problems in the beginning than letting them go on and to the point, you know, your shots, medicated baths. If you can keep up with the allergies, it might be an allergy pill a day or a bath once a week, which is a lot easier for a new home to deal with.
Well, and regular brushing. So the things from the, you know, the forest or the park that your dog's allergic to are off him, right? Little things
definitely.
Like that, regular grooming, making sure your groomer knows your dog's allergic so they're not using products that are difficult, like maybe cedar shampoo, things like that. I mean, you kind of have to communicate a little bit. But I'm wondering about diabetes. Is that common in Westies?
We have had some dogs who have come in from time to time with diabetes, but not as much as some of the other breeds. Usually if a pup has diabetes, it's a secondary condition to some other health problem.
Well, Chris, how are you helping Rachel?
Well, I think as with every group or organization that we bring on, we want to highlight these special needs. We want to highlight the senior animals. And before I go there, let me ask you something, Rachel. With your groups, do you guys participate in the Seniors for Seniors program?
We don't officially, but we just heard about it. So we think this would be a great program to get involved with, for sure.
So for the listeners out there who don't know what this is where senior animals are matched up with, let's say, older folks, making for a better match age-wise, making it more conducive for the two to get along because maybe they're a little bit slower together. But, you know, groups like Westy Med and all the groups out there that are registered with AdoptAShelter.com, just get your supporters shopping online, clicking through AdoptAShelter.com, picking Westy Med or any organization you want to support, and then shop like you normally would. Valentine's Day is coming up. We've got wonderful merchants. They give 4, 5, 6% of everything you buy goes back to Westy Meds to afford these medications, because these medications aren't cheap, and what Rachel is telling you is that it takes a lot of money and effort and time to put into these animals. And so with that, let me ask you, Rachel, we've talked about all the shortcomings of this breed. Talk about why somebody would want to have a Westie.
Oh, definitely. Westies are such a fun personality dog. They're a little dog. They're made 15 to 20 pounds based on male or female, up to maybe 22, 23. But they're a small dog if you want a small dog, but they're not so small that, you know, if you trip over them, you'll break every bone or anything like that. So they're a hardy breed. But they think they're huge dogs, so they love being outdoors. You take them to a dog park, they want to be in the big dog park area, ripping and running. And they've got this fun, energetic personality. They're also so smart. They're great for agility, training. And they've just got such a great personality. But I'm a little biased. I have three of my own on top of the dogs that I foster. So they're my favorite breed.
Well, and with all of those that you have fostered and rescued and been involved with on that level, what is your most rewarding story?
Probably the girl I ended up adopting. I guess you could say I failed at fostering. Her name was Daisy, or is Daisy. And she was surrendered to a kill shelter in our area. The owner had dropped her off because they couldn't afford the leg surgery, and she was 8 months old. So we were able to take her into foster. We had received a grant. Westy Med gives grants out to different organizations to help with the medical expenses, too. And we were able to get this surgery and save her leg, and about 5 months of rehabilitation, but at the end, she was this healthy, energetic, healthy Westie that was ripping and running all over the house. And at that point, I was just like, she's mine. She can stay here. And she's been a part of our family for 2 years now.
That's so awesome.
Wow, that's so nice. We're coming to the end of the show, Chris, if you wouldn't mind wrapping up for me with Rachel.
Rachel, I can't thank you enough for those things that you're doing, because I want to, again, reiterate to the listeners that we're just trying to highlight all the different elements and components that drive up the expenses at these shelters. And with the demand on shelter services being what they are, every time there's a natural disaster, demand goes up. And there's a way everybody can help, even if you can't give out of your wallet. You're certainly shopping. Office partners are shopping. Everybody's shopping online for something. So just help these animals. Just remember to click shop donate. It's that simple. And Rachel, I want to thank you again for being on the show. I love highlighting that. I do listen to it a lot from you, because you're always telling me about Preston and an animal. And I just can't thank you enough. It's God's work you're doing out there.
Thank you, Chris. Well, thank you, and thank you, Rachel. And congratulations on being shortlisted with the Dog Writers Association for your article on rescuing Westies. Well done. I hope you win. Okay, everybody, stay tuned. We'll be back with more Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf.
I'm your doggy.
To Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we've got Becky Starr coming back with us. But the topic today, I must complain, is not very sexy. We're going to be talking about vomit and diarrhea. However, before you switch the dial, listen, your dog, your cat, they're probably going to have this sometime. And you're going to need to know if it's serious or not serious. I run a kennel where some of the dogs come with remedies because they know their dog gets this when they move or when they travel or when it's upset, and or they send it just in case. But sometimes it's the first time you've ever dealt with it, and it can be explosive and messy and scary. And your dog might actually be really ill. So how do you know the difference? Welcome to the show, Becky. Becky Starr, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be here. Glad to be able to help any pet guardian out there that just isn't sure of things sometimes. So, yes.
Okay, so what happened to you lately?
Okay, so, you know, long-time pet guardian owner, and, you know, we obviously see our pets vomit or have diarrhea now and then. And with me, the reason I decided to talk about it this week, the other night, my Boston Terrier, Timothy, kind of seemed to have a normal day, and then suddenly he began to vomit. At first, it looked just exactly like the food coming up that he had eaten 3 hours prior, and this happens now and then. And he had about three episodes, and then it stopped, and I said, okay, we're done. Then we had a couple more episodes, maybe 20 minutes later. Okay, we're done. Then we had some more. Then it was just all phlegm. And really, you know, the upchuck, you know, you could see the stress in his body. And I kept saying, you know, to my husband, I'm like, I think something's wrong. He's never done this before. I think he needs to go. And, of course, they always do it after hours, you know, at emergency, 9 o'clock at night.
And oh, yeah. Like, well, Christmas Eve, for sure. It has to happen. You know,
exactly.
New Year's Day, Christmas Eve, when nobody's working except me. That's when you get your animal emergency.
That's right. So my husband's like, well, he's obviously trying to get clear it out. Let's wait a little bit. And my instinct was no, no, no. And then suddenly the phlegm turned pink. And it was like, this is a time when to say when. I've never seen this before.
Blood.
I know, you know, pink is not a good sign.
No, so, it's blood.
Yeah. And so off we went to emergency. Of course, one of the things that I think us humans need to understand is that diarrhea and vomiting are one of the most difficult challenges that even a vet has to try to diagnose, because there's so many possibilities. Once you're there, of course, they, you know, might want to do blood work, x-ray, fecal analysis, urinalysis, ultrasound, you know, in case they think they swallowed something, imaging, even a barium study, among other things. In my case, we did a bunch of these tests. Nothing was obvious that was found after a full checkup and blood work and a big bill later. And, you know, Timothy was sent home with some kind of meds to cover his stomach and go on a bland diet for, you know, the next 5 days. So the experience made me think about, when do we say when? I instinctively knew he needed to go that evening, but other times he's done this, I have never went, you know, picked up and left. Because I think, you know, many times, like you and I were just saying, dogs and cats have an occasional vomiting diarrhea spell for varied reasons that we don't usually know. Usually it's something they've eaten that disagrees with them. It could be allergy. They ate too much, ate too fast, exercised too soon after eating, overly excited, nervous, change of diet, car sickness. And
the vomiting in the case of young puppies and mothers, it's all the time because they're always eating stuff. They're eating sticks, they're eating rocks, they're constantly eating too fast, eating gulps of air at the same time. I mean, it's really quite normal for a puppy to vomit a little bit. So
yes.
You got to know when it's a problem, though.
Yeah, and it's a good thing they do this, right? Because it's a release of these excretions and toxins, and it's their primary defense mechanism for what shouldn't be in their body. And these kind of bouts, you can tell the difference. They're usually short-lived. Your pet will otherwise seem completely normal and go about their day. But when this happens, even those small bouts, you should take notice and say something's happening in their gut. We need to remove all water and all food for 12 hours, maybe go on a little bland diet of just boiled chicken and rice or cottage cheese and rice for a day or so, and let them get back to their normal pH balance and back to normal in the gut. But some of the indicators of when to say when, you know, I really started looking into after this experience. The first, of course, is severe, prolonged, unrelenting vomiting or diarrhea. lasting more than a few upchecks, becomes frequent over a few hours. Perhaps it's projectile, because projectile can be a sign of an obstructed gastrointestinal tract. Vomit that smells or looks like a stool. If they look like they're in abdominal pain or enlargement in the abdominal area or labored breathing. Repeated attempts at vomiting, but nothing is produced. This is a classic symptom of gastric dilation, or as many people know it, as a bloat. And this is a potential life-threatening condition that is seen mostly in large, you know, deep-chested breeds of dogs. Or the presence of red blood, or a material that looks like coffee grounds. Because fresh blood actually appears red while partially digested
blood. Is
blood.
Black, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like coffee grounds. Or the big one is if it's green. Many of the poisons out there used to kill mice and rats are a bright green color. And these poisons can also kill your pets quite timely. Or one of the things you mentioned, too, is a young dog that is not vaccinated. Because parvo is a real concern, highly contagious.
That's the worst.
Very aggressive and can make your dog very ill quickly. So these, all of these symptoms are when to say when. Don't play doctor.
So if your dog vomits or has diarrhea once, but is otherwise active, drinking, eating, playing, it's probably nothing to worry about. On the other hand, if it's repeated, if he just seems wiped, like he has no energy, can't lift his head, get to the doctor.
That's right. Any unusual color or consistency or prolonged or any of those symptoms mean you go. And when you're going,
cats, it's tricky, though, because cats, them and the hairballs, it's a regular deal. So you have to know the difference between a hairball and a problem.
That's right. And I'm not sure, because I am not around cats a lot, what else would you say that you watch for in a cat other than what I was describing?
Well, sometimes if a cat has diarrhea, it won't want to use the litter box or it'll start making a mess elsewhere. So any kind of avoidance issues all of a sudden, any kind of reluctance, it can usually point to something wrong. But the vomiting thing, it is tricky with cats because they're often puking up their little cat hairballs, which sort of look like poops but aren't, and they're covered in hair. And the longer your cat's hair is, the more likely he is to do that. The more you brush him, the less he'll have to groom himself, the less hair he'll get stuck in his system that he'll have to cough up later. And one home remedy is to give your cat just a tiny little bit of butter. Lick it off your finger, maybe a teaspoon every few days. And the lactic acid in the butter helps break up the hairballs. But I think you could have more problems with this with dogs, because normally dogs get into more things. They're out more. House cats are pretty confined. So it's going to be dogs and puppies that you're really worried about this diarrhea vomiting thing. And there's all kinds of remedies. Like you said, rice, pumpkin, stewed cooked pumpkin, a teaspoon or so helps regulate dogs. But you really need to go with your vet if you think it's a serious problem and not something really minor. If you know that your dog got into, too much pizza with your teenage son the night before and now he has diarrhea, okay, you know what's going on. So give him rice for a few days, right? But if you don't know and you can't explain it and it seems crazy and he's really sick, just get to the doctor.
That's right. And while you're in the midst of this chaos and panic, of course, with your animal that is not feeling well and doing well and you're jumping in the car at late hours and heading to Who's Open, if you can, try to review in your day, or before I say that, try to take a sample of the diarrhea or the vomiting with you. Because as I was saying earlier, it's the hardest thing for the vet to diagnose because there's so many possibilities. So try on your way to the vet to think of anything in the day that was unusual. If they went to a new dog park, if they were at somebody's house, if you saw them in a new arena or area or something new in the house, something you left on the floor, maybe the food has gone bad. Because many times, a lot of pet guardians are not aware of this, but even kibble, it has a very long shelf life.
If it's the preservative-free good kind, it doesn't have such a long shelf life, especially
That's
if
right.
it's sitting in the sunshine. So you do have to watch for that. Becky, we've run out of time.
Okay.
Do you want to tell people about your magazines quickly before we have to go?
Oh, well, you know, I work with Redstone Media Group. We publish animal, feline, equine wellness magazine. I have vet journals that are all about natural, healthy, holistic health. If anyone would like to have a free sample or subscription because of you, they can contact you, give us their name and email address, and we'd be happy to send out that educational material to anybody of your fans out there.
Thank you, Becky. All right, everybody.
Thank you so much.
We'll have Becky back again next week. Interestingly, since she deals with horses as well, horses cannot vomit. They just can't do it. So if a horse eats something toxic, it's really a problem. It can die. That's why never feed a horse. Don't feed a horse if you don't know what you're doing. All right, we'll be back in a minute with Dave Ratner on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. It's me, Deb Wolf, debwolf.ca. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy. I'm your doggy. And I love you. And you know that I really do.
Hello! You're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I'm going to give you a little news before I bring on my next guest. Well, let's see. I've got so many to pick from. Okay, I like this one. If you're looking for something to look at on YouTube and you want to see something cool, police forces are training birds of prey to drop out of the sky and grab drones. And they're really, really good at it. It's so cool to watch. Okay, so we're on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Dub Wolf. And we're welcoming back a regular guest, Dave Ratner. And you've heard me talking for years about how cats should never really eat grains. It doesn't make sense to me why cat food even has grain. And that dogs with cancer don't eat grains. So why should dogs that are healthy eat grains? Where's the grain coming from in the wild diet? Why do all the commercial dog foods have so much grain? You've heard me say all that. But maybe you weren't up to cooking for yourself. Maybe you didn't want to add all the things I was telling you to add. Maybe you wanted an easy way to give your dog meat or your cat meat. So I think Dave Ratner has the answer. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hello, hello. You know, I watched that video, by the way. It's really very cool, isn't it? To watch those birds knock those suckers right out.
They're just like, oh, no mercy. Trash.
Right, right.
'Cause they give them a treat. So the bird catches the drone and then gets a food reward. And these things are just nailing them like nothing. It's like, you know, God's ability to make something that flies way surpasses ours. Those drones, they don't have a hope.
Nope. It's very, very, very cool. So I'm like so excited. I haven't been this excited in years. So, you know, I am sort of a nut about nutrition for animals. And cats, forget about not having grains. Cats should not have carbs, period. Doesn't matter what the carbs are. And so cats really should be on an all-meat diet. And really, I think people got off that because it's just easier to put cat food in a bowl and walk away. But the fact is, diabetes is almost epidemic with cat, and the chief culprit is carbs, which turns to sugar, which spikes the blood, which is one of the causes of diabetes. So for all your listeners out there, you should feed a good, high-quality canned food. And even if you don't want to get an all-meat canned food, the difference in health from going from a dry food to a good quality canned food is huge. The difference in going from a dry to an all-meat canned food would be, you know, astronomical. But at least do your cat the favor of going to canned food. Now, surprisingly, Deb, when you said why do people do this, if a cat is 4, 5, or 6 years old and they've been fed dry food, a lot of them don't want to go to the canned food. And I know this because of it happens in my stores. So sometimes you have to wean them very, very slowly and just, you know, add some of the canned food. And the other reason, which will save you lots of money, is especially male cats are prone to cystitis. And one of the reasons that they get urinary infections is they don't drink enough water. And a lot of cats don't like to drink water. So if you're feeding a cat canned food, which is 76% moisture, by default, the cat is getting some moisture. So that's the catch. So let me tell you why I'm really, really excited. So I'm guessing that the listeners are very sophisticated listeners. And around the internet, a lot of people don't like the ingredient carrageenan. I don't know if you have you ever heard of it, Deb?
Yeah.
So it's a glue that binds the food together. It's used in people food, animal food. And the EPA and the FDA and everybody else says it's fine and healthy. But if you consume massive doses of it, it's not healthy. So it's just starting now that some of the foods are reformulating and taking out the carrageenan. And our most popular foods, the day's pet food, are our 95% meats, which are basically meat in a can with vitamins and minerals added. And so we reformulated it, and we took out the carrageenan. And I think that's how you pronounce it, carrageenan. And I'm, like, super, super excited that if your dog has a food allergy, if your dog is overweight, I'm not a veterinarian, so you didn't hear me say this, if your dog has diabetes, check with your vet, but it's a great diet because there's virtually no carbs in it. So we're, like, the first ones on the market to take the carrageenan out and have a really, really healthy food for dogs.
And okay, so what's the name of the food and how can they get it, Dave?
So it's Dave's Naturally Healthy is the brand name, and it's our 95% meat. And it's available in, we're in about 4,000 independent pet stores across the country. And we're also, all the online stores have it. The pet online stores have it as well.
And even ask you about teeth? If I switch my animals off hard kibble, I have to do something else for their teeth?
Well, the hard kibble does nothing for the dog's teeth. Hard kibble is not hard enough, and it disintegrates as soon as it gets wet. So it really does nothing except get between the teeth of your dog. This sounds really goofy. If your dog will let it, brushing your teeth is great, but giving it treats like greenies or antlers or dental, and this month happens to be dental month, or real dental chews is the real only way to help the animal with dental stuff. Kibble does nothing.
Recommend rawhide to anyone.
No, I
really want people to steer clear of rawhide. You probably want to steer clear of most of the jerky out there, but there are some jerkies, right, Dave, that you can recommend?
Yeah, no, there's some great, and I was in a plant up in New Hampshire this week that makes the cleanest USA-sourced chicken strips in the history of the world. It's a new plant. We're going to have them in our name, but if you go into your independent pet store, they'll tell you which chicken strips have nothing added and are sourced right from the USA. The only chicken strips that they had problems with were a batch from guess where?
China,
of course.
Right. Yeah. Well, right. Okay. So you got to give your dog something to chew. I wonder about the cats. It's hard to get a cat to be willing to have its teeth brushed. It's much easier if you start with kittens and puppies. But they make these little toothbrushes that fit over your finger.
Yep.
I don't recommend those because when the dog or cat bites, they don't know your finger's in there.
Yep.
So
it
takes a little bit of a learning curve for them to figure out. So I'd rather you use an actual toothbrush, very small, very soft. And just when you do it, use the flavored paste. It'll be flavored something disgusting to the human taste bud, like, mouse or liver. And and just do it quickly and reward your cat or your dog a lot. Do it quickly, reward them a lot. And gradually over time, you'll be able to do all their teeth. But I don't know. I think there was a comedian out there who was cracking jokes about this, about brushing his dog's teeth and how the vet recommended he do that. And, that he obviously had the pecking order out of line because he wasn't going to brush his dog's teeth. It'll save you so much money if you do.
Right. The safest way to brush your cat's teeth is to have someone else do it.
Yeah, well, you know what? Cats, I find when a cat really likes you, loves you, it will actually rub its teeth against your fingers. It will actually try almost for the gum massage. The scent glands in their cheek area are the ones that they use when they're happy. So that's why they rub their face into doorways and into people they love. So it's actually pretty easy to get a cat to agree to toothbrushing if you just do a little at a time with loads of cuddles when they're in the mood. And I would suggest no catnip, because that makes them wild. That's the wrong vibe. You want them really relaxed and easygoing. Maybe play with them first, then let them eat. Then 20 minutes later, that's when they're mellow, because they have a cycle of energy. A cat wants to hunt, then it wants to eat, and then it wants to rest. So that's how you do it. Take advantage of its cycle. Okay, so Dave, what would you like to leave people with today? Because I think we're probably coming to the end of the show.
Yep.
How can they find your products?
Well, they can find my product in almost all independent pet stores or online, you know, on any of the online retailers. But, you know, if you and I can leave the show every week and we can get one or two or however many more people to stop feeding dry food to cats and you know, start feeding canned, then we've done God's work. Does that sound goofy?
No, not at all. Not when you think of all the problems, the obesity, the diabetes, the crystals in the urine, all this stuff you don't want, that you're kind of setting your pets up for if you're giving them food that causes it. But
plus, you'll save so much. I mean, you'll save money because you won't have these vet bills. And it's just so much better for the cat. And we buy animals because we love them. So why not help them thrive?
The poop situation. Okay, everybody's probably wondering, but not asking. You will actually have less poop if you change your food. A lot less.
Yep.
So that might motivate some of us who don't like the litter box so much. Oh, by the way, they have this new commercial out for this product that's supposed to be so light and so weightless, this litter, that the ladies in the show with their little outfits and their little pretty shoes are asking, they're saying, throw me the litter, and they're tossing it back and forth, this big jug of litter. So I went to the store and I decided to pick it up to see, you know, how light it is. It's not light at all. It's heavy. What are they talking about? It's still the heaviest thing in my grocery cart.
It's about a third the weight of regular cat litter, though. We sell it in our stores.
I would not be saying to my neighbor, toss me the litter. That I would not be doing, and having her toss that jug over the fence out the window. Come on now. That's still heavy, but yeah, I guess it's a lot lighter than the original. I don't know why we can't come up with a better solution for cats.
You can if you use newspaper, recycled newspaper. It doesn't track. It's fabulous litter.
I've not tried that.
We sell tons of it. Yeah, recycled newspaper. Yep, they sell it. It's called, one of them is called Yesterday's News, and they have some, you know, Yesterday's News.
Yeah,
it's very clever. But that's the best kind of litter to use.
Oh, interesting.
It's very, very absorbent.
And all cats take to it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Because that can be an issue, and you don't want to throw off your cat's routine because, you know, you'll pay the price on that one.
Nope, and there's ground up, you know, cardboard and all these paper things because they don't, the beauty is they don't track and they clump. They're really absorbent.
Mm-hmm.
We sell tons of it in our stores.
So what else is a big seller this year, right now?
For cats, you know, they now also have some cat litter. And again, this is where independent pet stores are so great. They now have cat litter that when your cat pees in it, you take it out and the color, it turns a different color, and it will alert you that if your cat is having urinary problems.
That's awesome. You know, that reminds me of the old swimming pool myth, right? If you pee in the swimming pool, a purple ring will surround you and everyone will know. But actually, this is for people who have to check their cats regularly because they've had issues and problems.
Yep.
It can be a major, you sometimes have to actually drug a cat to get a sample. It's not so easy to get a cat to pee on demand.
Yep. So that's a great, they're more expensive, but if you have a cat, I don't have to tell anybody who's listening how expensive it is when your cat has urinary issues. It's horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to catch it early.
And painful. It's kind of like a person with kidney stones. You don't want them to suffer like that.
Nope. So that's pretty good words of wisdom this week, Deb. We did.
We're leaving people with a lot. Well, I still have three puppies left in the barn. One is going today. They're all sold. One is going today up to Terrace, BC, where another one went. And as they do, she won the hearts of the neighbor. And now they've come down to get a dog. So these dogs are traveling, but they're traveling with the owners on the plane. And I just have two left here. They're only here for another 10 days or so. They're already sold. But if you want to look at my standard poodle puppies, you can still see them on Facebook Camp Good Dog, along with the other campers. We've got a big golden named Cello, a whole bunch of medium and little dogs. Oh, all sorts in little dog land. There's Katie, Ambassador. There's Bassets and Beagles and Shepherds and a Vizsla. I'm just looking out the window right now. Two Lab Crosses, Border Collie Cross, a Bernese Mountain Dog. It's looking pretty full because we have a stat holiday up here. It's family day on Monday. So the kennel is busy. Camp is busy with the dogs when the families go on holiday. And I'm just wondering, as I look at them, how many of them are lucky enough to have an all-meat diet? Not so many.
Not so many. Right.
Some of the people are spending a lot of money for raw food chunks, bricks that are come frozen. And I wonder if this is a better alternative.
Well, it's a more convenient and less expensive alternative. And, you know, there's never been an issue. I shouldn't say never. Never say never. But, you know, there, it's just a safer health-wise, you know, with salmonella risks and all that kind of stuff. A canned food is pretty safe.
When the people send their dogs here and they send these bricks of frozen food and it's marked, you know, half a brick AM, half a brick PM or whatever, and then their stay gets extended. And even though we tell them to send extra, it's such a hassle to try and get the right food for the right dog if it ate more than usual or if someone fed it slightly, you know, the line on the half wasn't exactly right or whatever. It would be so much better to know that, okay, this is their backup. Go to the store, get this. You know, get the receipt, staple it to the customer's receipt. Then they know what we spent. They reimburse us. A no-brainer. Trying to deal with the raw food, I have to have extra freezers. And it has to be, you know, you have to take it out the night before so it will thaw. I mean, it's a big pain in the butt, honestly.
It is. It is. We don't feed it to our dogs. Because it is. It's a pain.
Yeah, it's just for some of my customers who think they need it. But now they have another alternative. So hopefully they'll catch on to this because, you know, I cook for my dogs and I give them a lot of homemade food, but a lot of people out there don't want to do that. They just think that's just too much work.
When you cook for your dogs, you got to make sure they get the right amount of, you know, the vitamin packs.
You do. And it's hard. Some things are hard. The bone, the replacing that part of it is very hard. And there's certain foods that we think of as harmless, like grapes and raisins, that are deadly to dogs. So, you know, you really got to know what you're doing. A guide is to look on a really, really good quality food that you would normally choose. Look at the ingredients list. And if it says it on there, if it says carrots or beets or yams or something like that, then that's something you might want to give your dog. But I think you're going to argue no veg, just meat?
No, I give my dogs blueberries. We, you know, for treats, I tell my customers baby carrots. You know, all those, you know, vegetables and fruits for the most part of it. You got to be really careful with grapes and raisins because they do kidney damage.
But and the nightshades, you know, steer clear of the onions and the garlic and all the nightshade vegetables instead. Yeah. But a lot of times your dog will show you what it likes. I mean, I have quite a few dogs who love bananas. I have other dogs who love apples. I have one dog who will literally disappear inside a berry patch because she's picking for herself, you know, comes out completely stained.
Very cool.
Yeah, so they'll show you what they like if you offer it to them. Just don't offer it for begging. Offer it when it really is their meal. And don't make them feel like they have to eat it if they don't like it, because not all my dogs like bananas. Not all my dogs like berries. It is a personal thing, just like with us. Okay, Dave, we've run out of time. So maybe tell people one more time about this brand new food, reformulated.
Well, it's Dave's Pet Food. You can go to our website, davespetfood.com, and you can learn all about the foods and learn a little bit about me and where we come from and what our mission is and all that kind of stuff.
Thanks for joining me again. I hope we'll talk again next week.
Have a great week. Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. You too. All right, everybody. I'm going to finish up with a little bit of news, a little side bit. I know that Bill Cosby's been in the news a lot lately, and many of you have already made up your minds on whether you think he's guilty or not. But I have to say, one of the people who's speaking out against him, who says she's been a victim of his, Andrea Constant, is Canadian and also a standard poodle owner. And she gave her statement to the press with the two standard poodles flanking her. And I don't know, it was convincing to me. Anybody who has two standard poodles who agree with her, she's got my vote. So Andrea and the standard poodles, your credibility, the dogs looked amazing. They looked in great condition. They looked like they adored you. They weren't nervous despite the press, despite the media. One thing's for sure, you're a good dog owner. I'll say that of you. All right, everybody, until next time, Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. It's me, Deb Wolf, at dubwolf.ca. Little light look at the animal news. And next week, I'll be back with some more animal news. Check out those drones, the birds of prey being trained to catch the drones. It's awesome footage for the power of the animal. All right, everybody, till next week, be good to your animals.